The study of the Ten Sefirot, Part 6, page 454 in Hebrew. We're in item 12. Now we shall explain the cause and consequence connections in them. The first operation is the bitush de'o makif in opnimi, extending from the masach. To the extent that the masach extends and clothes the opnimi in the potzuf, it rejects the o makif that belongs to the potzuf. This is so because its ability to clothe the o elyon comes entirely by its haka'ah on the o elyon that pushes the full measure of o that should expand in prina dalet back.
You need to read it again. I see that people haven't even started to think according to Tess. They don't have the drawing, these words. Again,
item 12. Now we shall explain the cause and consequence connections in them. The first operation is the bitush de'o makif in opnimi, extending from the masach, from the screen. To the extent that the masach extends and clothes the opnimi in the potzuf,
inside the potzuf,
it rejects the o makif that belongs to the potzuf.
That is around the partzuf, and the bitush, the striking between them, is in tabu. Clear? Who didn't get it? Everybody got it. Okay. There was zivug de'aka in pe'avosh, according to the decision, the light expanded from pe' downwards arrives at the tabu, and there it ends. It cannot receive any more in order to bestow. Whatever it receives in order to bestow is called the toch of the partzuf, opnimi, inner light. As much as it cannot receive in order to bestow, this is considered outside the partzuf and surrounding light, o makif. And they are opposites, and they feel it, and they meet at the tabu. And they're at the state of tabu, meaning, what does it mean? The tabu keeps the inner light, opnimi, and holds it inside, and rejects the surrounding light outside. And this place called the tabu feels the opposition between what the creator wants the created being to receive, the host wants to give him everything he prepared for him according to the desire of the guest. The guest wants it. And the host is imploring him with his pleasures. And the guest refuses and constantly exerts great effort not to receive, hold himself in tabu. What next?
This is so because its ability to clothe the Or Elyon comes entirely by its haka'ah, the Or Elyon that pushes the full measure of the Or that should expand in Bchina Dalet back, not letting it expand in the Partzuf from its Tabur down. It is known that this Or cannot clothe in the Partzuf is the Or Mekif of the Partzuf. Hence, the Or Pnimi and the Or Mekif are found to be contradicting one another, because the measure of the clothing of O Pnimi is as the measure of the aviut of the Masach. Conversely, the measure of the O Mekif depends on the zakut, the purity of the kelim. Thus, the O Mekif purifies the Masach, and the O Pnimi departs from the potzuf. For that reason, the Masach is the reason for the bitush, the O Mekif in the O Pnimi.
Questions?
Rav,
according to what we see, the action of Tabur really resembles the action of the Masach.
Yes, Tabur is also a screen.
Masach.
But it's a screen that does not receive, but rather holds, keeps, stops. It faces against the reception of the light. Because that's the point where you can receive the light in order to bestow.
It's a one-way action.
Yes. The screen has a force that stops the light, a force that receives the light. A screen is a combination of reflected light, or chozer, and aviut, coarseness. As a result of that, we get a masach. Meaning, there was in the earth the feeling of the desire to receive, the feeling of the desire to bestow from the emanator, a restriction, where he doesn't receive anything for itself, and the pressure, nevertheless, from the emanator to receive, and from the creature that must come out of this state, meaning he cannot remain because he doesn't want to receive because of the shame. This is simply the eruption of an even greater ego. But if I receive, then even if I receive in order to receive, I give pleasure to the emanator. I give him pleasure. Rather, the fact that I stopped receiving, by that I cause him sorrow. Meaning, it turns out that the restriction is an egoistic action. Now, if not for the shame, I would have received. I would have received, I would have given pleasure to the Creator. Meaning, after the Tzimtzum, when the light expands in the Rosh of the Partzuf, where it wants not to receive, but just to make a calculation, evaluation, where he's at. So he has a decision on the screen whereby he's going to receive only according to the greatness of the host. It's a new condition. It's not according to my will to receive, but according to the greatness of the host. This action is what is missing in a group between us. When the group is more than me, to the extent it's more than me, I'll be able to bestow to it. And then I'll have a partzuf.
He says here that the Omekif depends on the purity of the Kalim, and the Omekif depends on the Aviut of the vessels. Can you explain the matter of purity and Aviut?
Of course, the coarser the vessel, it can receive more in order to bestow. It's clear, right? Naran Chai, it depends on the coarseness. Shosh, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet. And surrounding light, accordingly, the purer the vessel has outside of it the surrounding light. Because the surrounding light doesn't work according to coarseness. It works according to purity, equivalence of form between the light and vessel. The equivalence of form with the light inside the vessel is according to Aviut and Ochozer, coarseness and reflected light. And the equivalence of form with the light that's outside of the vessel is according to its purity. Where do we feel it? For example, a simple example. You have very coarse people. They feel what they receive inside. Whatever I have in my stomach, I feel. Everything else, forget about those philosophies. There are those finer, purer people. Look what's around them. This air, wind, bestowal, love, according to their purity. That's the difference.
What I was intending is the last sentence you said, that now you have a group. First of all, the connection to the group is beyond whatever is happening, and we want to be in, or whatever is in pain, and you want to be in there. Is that purity or coarseness?
Connection to the group?
Yes.
It's only according to the coarseness. How much with the coarser, stronger, more vicious vessels, I can overcome them in order to connect with the friends, then the connection is stronger. We build the toch of the partzuf with that. We don't pay attention to our externality, which is outside the partzuf, only inside the group. As much as I can bend my desires in order to connect with the friends. This is where the greatness lies.
So where here is the purity of the vessels?
The purity by itself happens when I turn the coarseness to purity for connection. If I place my coarseness, which I wanted to use for my own benefit, and I use it now for the benefit of the group, I turn it into purity. The coarseness, using the masach, the changing of direction that is applied to it. That's why each one who is greater than his friend, his desire is greater. He becomes greater because his desire is worse than everyone.
So, let's say everyone was able to do it, reached on this point of annulment, the point, the zero point regarding the Creator.
The point of zero means that each one, with everything he's got from his place, in the current state, he contributes to the society, to connection. Of course, there's a difference between everyone.
So, we turned together, the light helped us, of course, to turn coarseness into purity. Now, what does it mean to receive in order to bestow in this state?
No, wait.
Where's the calculation here?
The calculation is that we annul towards a group, towards its center. We annul ourselves that is seemingly like bowing down before the Creator who's in the center of the group. The Creator is the sum total of the efforts, our attainments. This is the Creator for us. That's what we attain. As much as we've invested the energy, the powers, we're able to connect above each and everyone. The conclusion from that is the Creator. That's why from love of the created beings to love of the Creator. There inside, we attain that force. We give birth to it or build it.
And what's the calculation now?
As much as possible to grow, increase that connection between us through annulment. Annulment. That's it. This is the period from the 3 days of absorption till the end of the conception, 9 months. We're going to have changes inside, but they're all built according to the style of rejection. We reject the will to receive. We don't want to use it. Later on, the rejection after the birth is in a different shape. In Katnut, there the work is not to just reject everything with the will to receive, rather to know how to sort it out, not use it as a desire to receive, but sort it out in order to connect as well. As much as I can explain it, and later than this, the work with the will to receive itself, that they it's inverted, like during the birth when the embryo inverts from the head down.
I don't want to confuse, but you said previously, I hope I remember correctly, you said that some people feel in their kelim, in their vessels, and some people feel around. And then there are different styles.
They're more like that and more like that. We see it on the street also.
No, not in the street. In the ten. Now, you have different qualities of this kind of work.
Because it's ten sefirot. What do you want? We're going to discover it even. How much each one is different in its qualities. Not only his desire, the styles of desires, doesn't matter. When we start to connect, we'll discover each and every friend in bestowal, that in bestowal, he will appear to us as the most active part in bestowal. He will appear as a sefirah, the sefirah of Rabbi Shimon, his student.
But out of the mutual annulment and integration, it turns each what each one brings, he brings it to the mutual kli that is made between us. He's included in all the properties of everyone.
Yes and no, but he's integrated. That's what he does. Nevertheless, the Sfirot are in personal actions between us, just the same. But each and every friend, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Isa, all those, each one of them, he is something special. They're integrated, yes. We'll learn about this.
It'll
bring us more discernments, yes.
Is a restriction an action that occurs in the Rosh?
Before the Rosh.
Yes.
Before.
Before the Rosh. After Bchina Dalet, is there a Rosh?
How can I start planning something in order to bestow if I didn't restrict myself?
What is there before the Rosh?
This desire and the light, and if the desire wants to enjoy, it receives from the light a tiny illumination called Kista de Chayuta. The tiny illumination we feel in this world, just existence below spirituality, which isn't even considered life.
So the moment you have Batsuf, you can't be mistaken.
That's a different question, to make mistakes or not. But the Pratsuf is after I'm deciding that I'm not getting anything for myself. Just imagine that state. I'm not receiving anything. It's all in the rejection in order to bestow. So I received such a force from the Creator, I can already make a calculation. What yes, what no, in what way, shape or form. And also the calculation itself is inside the group. Because where is that upper light revealed? It's revealed out of our connection. Where am I making a calculation how much to receive and how much not to receive? In the middle of the group, the center of the connection between us. That's the upper light. That's the source of the Creator. This is our source. This is where the fountain of light is. And I must make the calculation towards it. Only towards the group. We're turning towards the same vessel of Adam Rishon.
If there was a Tzimtzum before the Partzuf and there you don't receive,
you're holding it.
So why do you need the calculation?
Above the restriction, you make a calculation. How much can you bestow to the host? If you just performed a restriction, you did it, okay. Restriction is still Ein Sof. Malchut of Ein Sof, making a restriction. And the restriction also works on the entire Ein Sof. It's also round. When I go to make a calculation after the restriction for how much to bestow to the host, that's not just restriction, that's more. I'm checking what yes, what no. I'm sorting things out. So it's not a circle where there are no restrictions. Here, I'm restricting myself. I'm restricting the light.
The restriction before the Patsuf is the over in order to receive, right?
Yes.
The moment the Patsuf begins, isn't it that whatever the Patsuf receives, it will be to bestow to the host?
Yes. Even if I can't handle several of my desires, it's still considered that I'm bestowing to the host, because after the restriction I decide that everything I do is only for the benefit of the Creator or the group, which is one and the same.
So what do you need the calculation for?
How much? How is the spiritual ladder built? How many desires of mine can I take and in them to receive in order to bestow? And what I'm receiving in order to bestow, that's my contribution to the group.
So, according to the calculation you make in the Rosh, whatever you can receive in order to bestow is in the Toch already?
Yes. That's the Toch of the Pratsuf.
Why isn't there a relation to the Sof of the Pratsuf? Why do we say it's unimportant?
What do you mean not important? I'm not able to receive in order to bestow, so it remains empty.
Yeah, but the surrounding lights work on the sof.
The surrounding lights work on the tabu, the boundary between toch and sof. They want you to continue to receive, just like you had a pressure in the osh to receive in order to receive. What's the problem? So now that you received some of it, they continue in the same direction. You should receive. Because from the upper light, there are no inhibitions, no detainments. The Creator wants us to receive in order to receive. You understand that His cruelty on the one hand? On the other hand, no, it places a condition. You have to do it in order to bestow.
Anyhow, it's not clear how to make the calculation to receive in order to bestow. This mechanism is vague. It's unclear.
Well, it's not clear because you're not in it. What can I do? I can explain it. Cannot. Make a calculation. You have on the one hand desire to receive pleasure, on the other hand you have someone. You have before you a glass of water. You want this glass and your friend wants this glass. Make a calculation. You're doing it for him or for you, and how much? How much are you capable of? What desires he has and you have the calculations. You'll see, it's not simple. You can't explain it. Let's continue a little bit.
Continuing in item 13. The second operation, which is the izdakhut of the masach, the purification of the screen, extends from the bitush, the o mekif, in the o pnimi, as in the first operation.
That's clear. As a result of the bitush pnimu makif, the striking between the inner light and surrounding light, a strike at the screen of the tabu, this screen decides that I'm purifying it myself. Why? There are several reasons. It's not so simple to understand them, but there are several reasons. Reason number one, it cannot stand the pressures of both of those lights. They're contradicting pressures. The second one says, I cannot receive anymore in order to bestow. That's the first one, I'm sorry. The second one says, receive in order to receive. And this is against the decision in the osh. So it can be that the goof goes against the decision of the osh, unless it breaks itself. So that's with respect to the current state that we have in tabu. And there's another decision towards the purpose of creation, whereby everything the Kli does is in order to reach the purpose of creation. The end of the action is in the initial thought. The end of the action has to be in everything, like a lighthouse. Therefore, the Kli understands that if it will stand in the middle there, it will not reach the goal. And the goal must be reached, on the one hand. On the other hand, you cannot receive in order to receive, because that's also opposite to the goal. It throws him backwards, and even more. He's not going back to what he had, he's falling to the klipa. Because he decided that he will keep the desire of the host and his desire to cleave unto the host, and he withdrew himself from that. So there's no other choice but to purify itself. He's the chechut. And in that process, it doesn't cancel what he does, what he did. The pasuf of Golgotha remains there after the purification. But why is he, what is it purified? Because of the surrounding light. He performed the correct action, but the host pressures him to such an extent above what he did that he's unable to stay there. Meaning, getting up from the meal also is also honorable. No, like we said, no, thank you, I don't want them anymore, thank you. It's not to the detriment of the host or to himself. He's keeping the continuity. That's why he can go and renew his relationship in the purification of the screen and the creation of the entire Tanta, and then to continue with the new coarseness that's revealed. And the new coarseness cannot be revealed before the Pratsuf of Galgalta is purified. It does not exist. Because only after the expansion of the light and its departure, both Malchutov and Sof, and now it makes the vessel qualified for its role. The light expanded from Tabo to Pe, it departed, and then this understanding of what is the light that fills in order to bestow. This is where I felt the host, the creator, adhesion in him. And when I move away from that, and I'd rather move away, because for me, it means staying in zero adhesion. It just says how much I'm able to receive additional force in order to bestow. Ultimately, what's happening in Ab? In Ab, there's Dalet Gimel. What is Dalet Gimel? Is it less than Dalet over Dalet that exists in Galgalta or not? On the one hand, it's seemingly lesser coarseness. On the other hand, many more scrutinies. So each and every Pratsuf goes from a quantitative scrutiny to a qualitative one. Because in Ab, it works with the light of Nefesh, but he also adds another, you know, the ability to work with the light of Ruach. That's clear, right? That's how the lights enter from himself. Nefesh to Galgalta, then Nefesh to Ab, but Galgalta receives the light of Ruach. Meaning he's working on two parts of him. Ab and Galgalta, received from the Ein Sof. So he has Nefesh Ruach. This is already totally different than what Nefesh existed before. Nefesh is Nefesha, is kind of static state. Ruach is already in motion. He understands the attitude of the host towards him, and he begins to learn from these pressures, and it's alive already. It's not still, it's not inanimate, it's vegetative. It grows. We'll talk about it. When are you going back, Hoto?
2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
Maybe, watch out.
The Malchut that doesn't want to receive the light.
Doesn't want to receive the light in order to receive.
Yes. Feels the shame. Performs the restriction.
As a result of the shame, and doesn't want to receive the light. And because of the light, it feels the emanator. What's the deal about shame? Maybe if I have a desire to receive, and I feel pleasure in it. If I feel pleasure, and inside the pleasure, I feel a gap between myself and the emanator. Yeah? That develops me. I feel the bestower in my, the emanator in my will to receive. The cat feels the host only as long as it gives him something. The dog is a little different. It feels the host. He will refuse to take from someone, maybe except for the host. So the shame is the absorption of the qualities of the emanator inside the emanated being. That's why he's ashamed. Humans are ashamed, and also not everyone. And the shame, when it develops inside the will to receive, this is what brings him to a restriction. It evolves in small degrees and never growing degrees and greater. What are those tiny degrees? Not because he feels greater shame. Because rather more qualitative shame. I can steal from somewhere that nobody would see, or I'm unable to steal even though no one is looking. I can't. Or I regret even having such a thought. I mean, there are degrees in shame. When he arrives at the degree of shame in Bchinat Dalet, is unable to even have to touch reception, and then you get the restriction on the entire Bchinat Dalet.
You feel it. And then, still, the light goes in, and there's a shattering.
When?
After the Tzimtzum.
No. If parts of Galgalta, Ab, Sag, until you come to the shattering.
Okay.
No, it's not okay. They have second restriction.
My question is, in this whole process until the shattering, through this whole process, does Malchut know anywhere that there is something called Gmar Tikkun, final correction, that eventually...
Yeah, you have end of correction, of course.
Where did it know it from?
Because it would get filled with the light 100% in the world of itself. And only that which was missing was to receive the light, but in order to bestow. In Malchut of Ein Sof, there's a list of all the light, the attitude of the Creator to it, and it works from that.
So it knew for sure that if there will be a shattering, it will...
No, it didn't know about the shattering. The shattering is in the middle of the process. I'm telling you.
One more question. What Kabbalist started this and told the students that there is such a thing, the final correction? There is such a state of final correction.
From Adam Arishon?
From Adam Arishon?
Yeah, Adam.
I want to scrutinize the point of the pressure of the host on the guest. The point of the guest rejecting the food, it stands from the greatness of the Creator because he wants to attain this situation. He understands this is a light, and that this is what the host wants to pass to the guest. It's as if even before he rejects it, he already has a recognition of what this the state, the stature of the host is.
How can he reject it otherwise?
But why does he reject it if he has the recognition already?
To reach equality with the host.
Because that's the realization already.
That he wants to give pleasure to the host.
So there is no calculation about what he received. His calculation is about the free choice he wants.
Of course. Yes. After the restriction, he is thinking only about bestowal. Okay. Akoka, you're not quiet. Ask.
I just don't understand if there was a restriction. And now you're in a state that you only think about bestowal. Why do you have to make the calculation again? You're only thinking about bestowal.
You're asking his question, but how do I bestow without calculation? How can I bestow without a calculation? How can I give? To whom am I giving? What am I giving? All this is a calculation. What's the beginning of the calculation? I want to give pleasure to the host. So I want to give him contentment. So first of all, how much? In as much as I can, with all the strength that I have, give him so I'll have nothing left. Squeeze myself until the last drop. This is the calculation. Now, how much? Where do I have the strength in my hands to squeeze myself, to wring myself? How much? Let a child wring a rag, and then you see how much more water you can squeeze out of it. Meaning there's a difference. So as much as I can, as much as the upper light is giving me the power to do it, I squeeze myself clean and I give it to bestowal.
This tendency towards bestowing to the host, isn't it part of the kli already?
This is the vessel itself. There is no other vessel. Only the tendency towards the host.
So why do you need a calculation over that?
No, but which vessel? How can it be that... It's no such a thing as, I want to give. Give what? How much? To whom? What for? All that are calculations.
Didn't happen...
It didn't happen in the restriction, only after.
The restriction, there is no calculation with host?
No, those are calculations in the Rosh. In the restriction, there's only calculation with the shame.
But shame from whom?
Shame from being opposite from the host.
So there is a host.
But it's not a calculation.
What's the difference?
The difference is, restriction is not an act of bestowal. Restriction is something I perform on myself. I don't want to be a receiver. I don't want to be different than the host. The restriction comes from my the will to receive. Look in our world. You have people who blush. They are. They feel ashamed. They don't steal among everyone. They don't walk naked on the street. Each and every one is holding himself or herself according to the degree of shame. If not shame, you know what we would have here? Animals have a program of operation.
So we can say that the first restriction caused a recognition in the Kli that there's a host?
Recognition of the host is clear from the moment what we receive begins to develop in Ensof. There's no concealment. But getting to know the host is through four phases and so on.
Okay, so what's the addition that the second restriction that occurs in the Rosh of the Patsuf give?
Which the second restriction?
The restriction of the calculation in making the Rosh. What addition does it give?
There's no restriction. There's restriction in Machut of Ensof. That's it. And this restriction is working until it breaks in Nekudot of Sag.
In the Rosh, isn't there a tzimtzum, a restriction?
Each time, no. There's a decision. But this decision comes to it from that same restriction.
Okay, so except for making the calculation in the Rosh of how much you can bestow, is there any other action there?
No. Why? I don't understand you.
I don't know. Previously, I heard, at least I heard, that there's
restriction, screen, reflected light, it all exists from before. From the restriction that existed in Ensof. It's already, it exists in Machut of Gelgalta. It's already been used according to her calculation, you can say it. But it's a force of, well, you can say it's a restriction. I understand.
Okay, maybe differently. Well, the calculation in the Rosh, what is it made of?
It's made of especially that pleasure that I have to receive in order to bestow towards the host. When I'm working with the greatness of the host, how much I bestow to him, I mean, it's not the same light that used to fill me and so forth. It's completely not the same light. It's a light that now I want to feel it as pleasure that I give to the host. Meaning it stems from the greatness of the host in my eyes. Opening me, that fills the Parzuf of Galgalta. It's the light of the greatness of the Creator. As much as I give him contentment. And it depends on how great he is, how big. Who am I giving this ring to? And this is what it's all about. And not that how many pleasures I receive and I eat them in order to bestow. This is spiritual pleasure. It comes from the who I'm bestowing to. Yeah, greatness of the Creator compared to the greatness of my intestines.
That's your fulfillment. As much as you have the greatness of the Creator, how much you're filled with. That's what enables you to bestow back?
My force of bestowal is the measure of the greatness of the Creator in my eyes.
So the greatness of the Creator is the Kli, ultimately.
Yes.
Through which you can bestow.
Yeah, this is the spiritual vessel. slowly. What you built before and what you receive, it's not exactly the same, but what can you do? There are corrections.
Regarding the Hizdakhut, the purification. So in Gilgalta, you have Dalet in Itlabshut, and Dalet in Dalet Naviut, and Dalet in Itlabshut. And then the surrounding light puts pressure on the taboo, and then the Patsuf performs an action which is seemingly the opposite. It's as if it purifies, then it doesn't it cause more pressure on the taboo? Because there's more Mekif, more surrounding. Doesn't this action of purification cause it to become the opposite of what?
I don't understand. When the surrounding light comes, it ends in the taboo.
Yes.
That's the ending, according to the decision in Dosh. It doesn't pressure the taboo. It simply stops there and it can't go any further, according to what it decided. Whereas if surrounding light is pressuring you, he's saying, you must receive me, but it will be in order to receive. I don't care. As long as they receive me, I must enter those vessels of the Sof of Gilgalta.
Because doesn't the purification cause more pressure on the bowl?
The purification is saying this. I'm getting rid of the inner light completely, opening me. When I do that, there's no room for the surrounding light, because everything becomes surrounding light. Through the inner light, I grow weaker, because I received a little bit from the pleasure, the greatness of the Creator. It weakens me, my screen. Now I'm getting rid of it, I'll be able to give him pleasure.
That's with the taboo.
When it purifies, it goes back to the peh.
Okay, thank you.
Guys, we can continue this semester A, B, C. Next.
We're in item 13, the third operation, third line. The third operation being the Itkalulut of the Masach in the Rishimot De'eser Sfirot De'Guv comes together with the Zdekhut of the Masach extending from the Bitush De'or Mekif in the Or Pnimi. Since the Masach is purified gradually, according to the Sfirot, it passes and comes within each and every one, mingling with it during its ascent. When it purifies into Prina Gimel, it comes and mingles in Sfirat Zeranpin. And when it purifies into Prina Bet, it comes and mingles in Bina, etc. Similarly, finally it comes to the Matzil and mingles with all.
We must understand that the toch of the pertsuf is entirely a screen, a masach, of receiving in order to bestow. The sof of the pertsuf, all of it, is a screen, not for reception, a screen. It's not a desire. Whether its essence is a screen. When the screen is purified and rises to Pervosh, we have a desire left that's under the restriction. But when it comes down from Tabu to from Pe to Tabu, comes up from Tabu to Pe, and in general the essence of the place, which is the Toch, that has light, that's a mess. Meaning the intention in order to bestow. This is the toch of the pratsuf. And the intention not to receive completely is the sof of the pratsuf. And the rosh is the intention to bestow as much as possible. Everything is the intention. Okay?
No.
Meaning, if there is no intention, there is no patsuf.
Of course.
That's a basic condition.
Yes. Next. No more questions about it?
In yesterday's drawing, we drew the Masach, the Bederosh, being in the Rosh, and then turned Toch. I don't understand how the Masach, how does it happen that purifies if it actually descends to acquire the Toch, to fill the Toch, since purifies means rises.
Yes.
So what is this inversion?
It's not an inversion. First he has to go down from Pe to Tabo, and then he goes up from Tabo to Pe, like a piston.
So the first action of descent into Tabo, how is that called?
The first time is the screen, the Masach stands at the Pe of Rosh and makes a calculation in the Zivug, the Akah, with the upper light, in the Pe of Rosh. And he decides how much he can receive inside his intention to bestow. And then according to that intention, it goes down to Tabu. And then it receives in order to bestow. This is called the Toch of the Patsuf. And then when the Bitush works on him, he decides to get purified and he rises from Tabo to Pe.
But then the action, according to what I understood from you just now, is that first he goes down to that basic point of Tabo, then it gradually rises.
Yes.
But here he says that he acquires Prina Gimel, and then Prina Bet, and then Prina.
This is a purification, perhaps. The third operation being the Itkalelut of the Masach and the Rishimo. Third operation, which is the Itkalelut of the Masach and the Rishimot of 10 Sfirot of Guf. Sfirot is just a desire, but the screen, Masach, is restriction and the force of resistance, all those calculations. Then it comes together with the Hizdachechut of the Masach, extending from the Bitush of Or Makif and Or Pnimi. He speaks about the Masach in the Tabo. Since the Masach is purified gradually according to the Sfirot, it passes and comes within each and every one, mingling with it during its ascent. It's purified to Pchina Gimel, and it mingles in Sfirat Zeranpin, in the Rosh. And when it purifies into Pchina Bet, when it's purified to Pchina Gimel, it comes and mingles in Sfirat Zeranpin. And when it purifies into Pchina Bet, it comes and mingles in Bina, meaning from Zeranpin to Bina. It constantly rises from Tabo to Pe. Similarly, finally, it comes to the Ma'atzil, the emanator, and mingles with all. Now I understand why I don't understand. The lamp here just burnt. Went out. I can see. Clear? Ask what's not clear. What's up with you?
Why, as it rises, is it's included? It was on the way down. Why there didn't he incorporate with the Sfirot?
Good question. Who can answer it? Why, when the Masach, the screen, goes down from Pe to Tabu, is not intermingled in the Sfirot the same way when it rises from Tabu to Pe? Show them what it means to be a guard.
You gave the example of Rabash. That person goes into the rooms in the house. He goes one by one, looks at the rooms, incorporated in them. But when he leaves, he just goes out, doesn't pay attention to what's around him.
Here it's the opposite. It's integrated when he leaves. Okay, good. Because when it comes down from above down from Petutabu, it is busy in receiving the light, and the light fills him and erases all the discernments. It fills him. There's no difference in anything. The light fills the vessels, the patsuf. But the moment it begins to engage in expelling the light, it begins to feel the differences in the Avyot, Dalet, Gimel, Bet, Aleph, Shosh. It works with those differences. And that's why it always comes in those little stations. And in each and every station, as we learned, there's a zivug of the descending reflected light and the coming out of the sparks. As Tagin on the Otiot. And this is, and on the way back, he's got many discernments. There's a great struggle there between it's ridding itself of bestowal. It's a severe state, but he has no choice. But he's constantly in pressures. Try to visualize it. Saba?
Rav, can we say that the izdakhut, the purification in stages as it happens in the desire, is what keeps in the desire as it comes to its final point? It keeps the reshimo there?
Yes.
For the next potsuf?
Yes. Where are we?
14.
Let's read it.
Item 14, the fourth operation, which is the two upper reshimot, Zachar and Nekeva, extends by the force of the concealment of the last Bechina, because of the Izdakhut in each and every Partzuf. For example, after the Izdakhut of Partzuf Galgalta, Bechina Dalet disappears. And after the Izdakhut of Partzuf Ab, Bechina Gimel disappears. Etc. Meaning, precisely to that part of the Aviyut in her that stands for Amshacha and Hakka'ah. However, the part of Hitlabshut in her does not disappear. And this is called the Zachar, the male. It is unfit to mate with the Or Elyon, except when it connects with its closest Bechina that has a complete Reshima, which is called its Nekeva, female. For instance, after the Izdakhut of Partzuf Galgalta, the last Bechina remains with only half of the Reshima of Bechina Daled, meaning only from Bechina Hitlabshut, called Zachar. In order to mate with the Or Elyon, it must connect with Bechina Gimel, which becomes its Nekeva, its female. And then it can mate with the Or Elyon. Thus, the matter of Zachar and Nekeva appears because of the concealment of the last Bechina of each Partzuf after its Izdakhut.
Again.
The fourth operation, which is the two upper Rishimot, Zachar and Nekeva.
I mean, the highest of all, there's always a pair of Rishimot from the Aviyut and from the Itlapshut, coarseness and clothing. So there are Rishimot Shorosh, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet. He's talking about Rishimot from Pchina Dalet. This means highest Rishimot.
Extends by the force of the concealment of the last Bechina, because of the Izdakhut in each and every Partzuf. For example, after the Izdakhut of Partzuf Galgalta, Bechina Dalet disappears. And after the Izdakhut of Partzuf Ab, Bechina Gimel disappears, etc. Meaning, precisely to that part of Aviyut in her that stands for Hamshacha and Haka'ah. However, the part of Itlabshut in her does not disappear. And this is called the Zachar. It is unfit to mate with the Or Elyon, except when it connects with its closest Bechina that has a complete Reshima, which is called its Nekeva. For instance, after the Izdakhut of Partzuf Galgalta, the last Bechina remains with only half the Reshima of Bechina Dalet.
Dalet of Itlabshut.
meaning only from Bchinat Itlabshut, called the Zachar. In order to mate with the Or Elyon, it must connect with the Bchinat Gimel, which becomes its Nekeva. And then it can mate with the Or Elyon. Thus, the matter of the Zachar and Nekeva appears because of the concealment of the last Bchinat Ve'ich Patsuf after its Hizdakhut.
And then, Bchinat Dalet Ve'Itlabshut, and the Patsuf Ab, it connects with Gimel of Hitlabshut and Gimel of Haviut that exist in the Patsuf Ab, and it works with this Roshimo. And from that, you get Rosh the Hitlabshut the Ab, which is Dalet Ve'Itlabshut, and then Rosh the Haviut the Ab, which is Gimel the Haviut. Okay.
The Zachar in itself is always like Chafetz Chesed, and that Nekeva that appears always awakens him to rise one step. It's adapted to activate it always.
Those are the Rishimo. The Rishimo cannot be in actuality, in practice, unless they connect to a view, to coarseness.
He says here that the coarseness comes from the Nekeva, from the female being whole. Then it reveals itself to the Zachar, the male, and then it can be connected to the light to bring what she requires. She extends and he grows because of her. He works.
Of course, the male depends on the female because she provides him with strength.
And only the female activates the male, meaning the male in itself doesn't have an active action, except for receiving the extension from the female?
No. If the will to receive will not connect in the right intention, then everything, the intention remains in the air.
Passive.
Yeah, it can't work. This is passive is different. It cannot work. It's a difference. Passive means I decided I'm passive, and then later I decide to be active. And here we're talking about the Shimo of Hitlabshut, that he cannot work unless he's a female in the Nekeva.
The female knows that for sure the male can give her what she needs?
I don't want to speak in this way. I understand you have a tendency towards getting into all those places. I can't allow myself to go into such places. A few more answers and we'll go to Zohar.
Gelgalta is sitting on one segment in this circle, in the Yul, right? Gelgalta takes one segment of this Yul.
Let's say.
What's the difference between this segment and then a different segment in this whole Yul?
It's a different coarseness.
It's a different coarseness, even though it's a circle?
I don't know how to say it. They give me such conditions that don't exist in spirituality. They don't exist. Maybe we can draw it like that. It's not the truth, but that each and every partzuf is like a segment inside the circle. No. Guys, it's a little different than what we're thinking about. For the sake of the scrutiny, you take it, but don't get stuck in it, because you're going to change. Best not to think in this way. I'll tell you even more. I'll tell you the opposite. Each and every partzuf fills the entire igul, the entire circle. You see?
Mordechai from Israel is asking, what does it mean that Bchina disappears, this action of Hizdakhut?
There's no absence in spirituality. Of course, everything stays. We're talking about what's revealed for the sake of the next action only.
Eitan from Jerusalem is asking, how can it be that the light and the Kli are not adapted to each other?
Of course they're not the same. The light is in Sof. The vessel is zero. There has to be a similarity. That's what the vessel is trying to do.
What is the opposite process from Hizdakhut?
The expansion of the screen, Masach, from Petu Tabu.
They can't. It's hard for me to perceive the opposite action. Hizdakhut, purification, is like lessening.
Diminution is not from above down, as you say. It's a chut, purity.
Yeah, that I understand that the Masach rises from Tabor to Pe, but it seems to be the descent. Every time you have less and less. Right?
Yes and no. Spirituality is not one-sided. As much as it purified and uses not using his coarseness, does he become close to the Creator or distant from the Creator?
That's a question, I don't know.
He becomes close.
Receives less?
Receives less.
So why close? But the Creator wants him to receive.
Let's go. Oh, we have peace in the world. Peace. The peace resort.
There are questions.
I have questions from the world. Klee, let's go. Please.